This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, khaliq al-wujud min al-adam, wa ja'il al-nur min al-zulam, wa mukhrij al-sabr min al-alam. فملقي التوبة على الندم فنشكره على المصائب كما نشكره على النعم ونصلي على رسوله الأكرم ذي الشرف الأشم والنور الأتم والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم سيد ولد آدم الذي بشر به عيسى بن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا والحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا فصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون اللهم اجعلنا من المفلحين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي واللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله واللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين. Today's khutbah is going to begin somewhere but end somewhere else, and I want you to bear with me. We're going to start with talking about what happened as soon as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Makkah to Medina along with who we call the Muhajirun. These were the first of the believers, and they left their homes behind, their families behind, their properties behind, their businesses behind, their life savings behind. They voluntarily chose to be essentially homeless and become refugees only because they were holding on to Islam. And so you have a number of people, a large contingent of people and families that are essentially bankrupt and refugees and homeless are arriving into the city of Medina. And the city of Medina itself is not a thriving economy. It is also a poor town with its own problems. So the people that are living in Medina themselves, who we famously call the Muslims who welcomed them, we call them the Ansar, they weren't doing well. They were not well off in any, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, many of them lived in homes that didn't amount to more than one, maybe one bedroom, a small, you know, those kids' bedrooms nowadays in your homes, that's probably the size of an average home that they lived in. And now these people that came, not only did they have no place to live, they were now assigned to live alongside one of these Ansar families who are already barely getting enough space to get by themselves, barely one meal to eat a day, and now that meal has to be shared with a guest family, and that guest is not there for a weekend, they're not there for a month, they're not there for 2 months, they're going to be there for well over a decade. They're going to be there for a long, long time. Hospitality runs dry very quickly. You have people that say, oh, come over for Eid, come over for this, come over for that. 3 days later, when's your flight back? When are you going? It runs out quick. You have to understand, and that's when you're doing well. That's when your kids are saying, I don't want to share my room with my cousin anymore. You know, I don't have any privacy anymore. I want to watch something on TV. My aunt wants to watch something else. There's too much noise. The baby's still crying. These are annoyances that you say, I can't deal with this anymore. This is far more than that. This is them basically choosing to starve. They're already starving and they have to crank up on the starvation for years to come because they're choosing to sponsor the Ansar, to the Muhajirun. Now, I brought this up because, you know, it's not only that they're not doing well, the Sahaba brought with them a new enemy. Makkah is now an enemy of Medina. Makkah was not an enemy to Medina before. Now it's an enemy only because they moved here. And now we're going to go to war. And you all know Badr happened, Uhud happened, Ahzab happened. Multiple wars are going to happen. And wars drain an economy. You're already struggling. And now whatever scraps you have left, you have to put that together to buy weapons, buy horses, you know, prepare for war, and you know, meet the enemy. So now there's a sentiment growing inside Medina by non-Muslims and even some Muslims, that these people only brought problems. They're just an expense, and they brought a new enemy with them, and we have to go to war one time, another time, another time, for what? For what? And so when you read the munafiqun in the Quran, which is easy to vilify, but you have to understand where they're coming from, politically they're like, why are we treating these people like they're special? And on top of that, not only do we have to take care of these people, they are the first Muslims, so they are a higher rank in Islam. The closest people to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are actually the Muhajirun, the Sabiqun. But the ones financing them are the Ansar. So some of the people among the Ansar that are not quite so strong in their faith are like, first of all, we're the ones paying for every one of their meals. We're the ones providing a roof over their head, and they get to be the closest ones to the Prophet ﷺ. We should be listening to them. They should be the ones teaching us. What is this? We're the ones cutting the check. And these kinds of conversations were brewing for years. Regardless, this is the munafiqun and what they were trying to stir. The Ansar, by and large, they supported and lovingly supported the Muhajirun for years and years and years. Now let's fast forward. Khaybar happens after the Battle of Al-Ahzab. And for the first time, Muslims win some territory that has farmland, it has wells, it has castles, it has stockpiles of gold and silver. It has, like, even the farmland they took over, they made deals with the owners of the farms that they would have to give them yearly revenues. So now Muslims went from being absolutely bankrupt to rolling in the millions overnight, within weeks. A huge sum of money has now flooded into Medina, right? Huge sums of money. And now there's going to be revelation. Quran will come that is going to describe how is this money going to be spent. Now we got the money, but you know, what's the instruction? How are we going to spend this money? And you would imagine, I want you to put yourself in that situation. If you were one of the families that was sponsoring a muhajir, that was taking care of them, paying for every one of their meals and providing and all of that stuff, you're like, finally, it's time to get reimbursed. Finally, okay, you know what? I think we're gonna be okay now. There's gonna be an announcement. Thank you so much for your contribution. You are the first in line to receive these rewards for all this contribution you've been making. And by the way, most people that died in battle were the Ansar. They were not the Muhajirun. The Muhajirun were a smaller population. The Ansar are a bigger population. The larger percentage of the forces of the Muslims that went out there and lost their lives were the Ansar also. So they spent their lives and they spent their money and they gave their homes. And now it's time to, you know, get something back. And so these ayat come. مَا أَفَاءَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرَىٰ فَلِلَّهِ. Whatever Allah brought into spoils for, you know, to His Messenger, whatever winnings He has received, they belong to Allah. وَلِرَسُولِهِ. And they belong to His Messenger, صلى الله عليه وسلم. So if I'm listening in the audience, like, okay, yeah, I get that. Okay, who next? Okay, and then he says, وَلِذِ الْقُرْبَىٰ. وَذِ الْقُرْبَىٰ. And close relatives, meaning the Prophet's family. So I said, oh, okay, fine. Can we go further? Wal yatama, orphans. Wal masakin, poor people. Wal ibn sabil, travelers. Okay, so this is now welfare, right? The people that are doing really badly. But, you know, we were the sponsors. Maybe we're next in the next ayah. Lil fuqara al muhajirin alladhina ukhriju min diyarihim wa amwalihim. And the bankrupt people that migrated from their homes, leaving behind their homes and their monies. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. They were only pursuing the favor of Allah. Allah is saying the next recipient is who? The Muhajirun. And I'm going to pretend to be one of the Ansar who has a little bit of an expectation going, okay, so number one was everybody else. Number two is the Muhajirun. What's going on here? Are we even being counted? They're mentioned last. They're mentioned last. But the reason they're mentioned last is they're not because they're the least. They're actually the most deserving. And the way Allah talks about them is so powerful in this ayah. It's so remarkable in this ayah that I knew that today's khutbah, at this occasion, it should be about this ayah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and let's break this, it's a long ayah, let's break this apart little by little in the next few minutes. He's going to now describe the Ansar. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارِ. Those people who made comfortable space for home. تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارِ. This word is used in Arabic when somebody is choosing a home with the perfect location, the perfect weather, the perfect neighborhood. You're looking at all the factors and you're like, this is the perfect spot for me to settle down. In fact, when believers won't go into Jannah, نَتَبَوَّأُوا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ حَيْثُ نَشَاءُ. We're going to pick our perfect mansion. We're going to have a choice. Many of you that are looking for a home or have looked for a home in the past, you looked at 50 homes, 100 homes. You searched and searched and searched. Oh, this neighborhood. Oh, this elevation. Oh, this, you know, the highways near, the school district, this, that, the other. And then you make a choice. That's called tabawwu. It's also used for birds when they put every twig around their nest to make enough room for the egg. That's tabawwu. The word ba'a was also used for the womb of the mother because the belly of the mother makes perfect room for the baby. And now Allah is using this word to describe the way they prepared their homes, not for themselves, for the people that were coming. Tabawwa'u ad-dar. Tabawwa' is used for yourself. You set up home like that for yourself. But Allah is describing these people have a certain kind. He didn't just say, oh, they gave space. No, they created the kind of space for these people that they've never met before, as if they're preparing their own home. They're making that much room as if they're doing it for themselves. They had this open space in their homes. And Allah knows, and we know, their homes weren't big to begin with. And then He says, "Wal iman." And in doing so, they made space in their hearts for iman itself. Allah is saying their generosity, their open heart was an indication of how much space is for Allah in their hearts. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانِ. But even then, if you're generous, doesn't mean you have to like it. You could be annoyed by the people who moved in with you. Personalities clash, right? And you know, you're not always operating on the same frequency, or you were expecting to eat that one little piece of meat and their kid came and took it. And you're looking at, ugh, what do you do with this? Or they left a mess in the house or something else or the other. It's years and years of living together. Allah says, يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. They love those who migrated towards them. They love them. It's easy to read that. It's very hard to imagine it. How do you love someone who's taken up more than half the space of your house, eating half your meals, taken away virtually all of your property? If you made ample room for them, what that necessarily means is you no longer have enough room for yourself. And yet Allah says these people had a special kind of heart. They didn't just give to those who migrated. They didn't just donate. يُؤْتُونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ يُسَاعِدُونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ يَدْعَمُونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ. No. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. They love those who migrated towards them. They have love for these people. They don't see them as a burden. They see them someone to love. They have space in their... They could see these people have pain in their hearts because they accepted La ilaha illallah. Their family expelled them. They went through everything in their loyalty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they can see that and they can shed a tear for them and say, you know what? I love you. I love you because of the love you showed to my messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have this love for you. And I'll do anything for you. We romantically talk about unconditional love. This is what it looks like. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. But then it's even further. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ. I told you, right? The first announcement was the Prophet, then his family, then the poor, then the muhajirun. And if I'm sitting there going, but I spent all that money, when am I going to get acknowledged? Allah actually mentions this and He says, وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. They don't find anywhere in their chests any need for what the others were given. It didn't even occur to them that all this money came and now the muhajirun are recipients. What about me? That thought that I tried to inject into your minds, Allah is saying never even occurred to them. Allah didn't say they don't want it. He says, لا يجدون في صدورهم. Not لا يحتاجون. لا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة. They don't find anywhere in their chest even a single inkling. It didn't even occur to them, maybe I deserve some of that first. Maybe I should get that first. That thought wasn't even in their universe. This is the acknowledgement Allah has given these people. The Ansar, we think of the Ansar as the ones who helped. Allah is acknowledging the Ansar as a people that had amazing hearts, amazing giving hearts, generosity. And they didn't give it. They didn't give someone their care. They didn't just give someone their money and their home. They gave somebody their heart. And they never looked at what they gave and thought, maybe I gave too much, or this person didn't deserve it. Or look at everything I gave them and they don't even call me back. Or look at everything I did for them and look at what they do to me. They don't even thank me. They don't even acknowledge me. The thought never occurs to them. And if they see some of the Muhajirun succeed more than they ever did, and they say, well, they came from behind, they were homeless, and now they're making more money than I am. And they're like, I deserve that more than they do. The thought doesn't even occur to them. لَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. And then Allah says, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And this is how they give preference to others over themselves. They put other people first. They give first. There's some kinds of hearts Allah has created. They don't find joy when they receive. They find joy when they give. Their happiness is in somebody else's smile. Their happiness is in somebody else's comfort. Somebody else just got a little bit more, you know, relaxation. I was able to take somebody's difficulty away just a little bit, and that gives me joy. They're not looking for thanks. They're not looking for acknowledgement. That's just what their heart tells them to do. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. Even if they're starving themselves, they give others preference over themselves. And then the whole point of me sharing these ayat with you is the last portion. And to understand this last portion, I'm going to tell you about an Arabic word, and I want you to remember the meaning of this word. It's a very easy word, actually. Not very common in the Quran, but it is used. The word is shuh. Shuh, sheen, ha, and ha, shuh. And shuh is used to describe land or any surface that's impermeable, like ardun shiha. What does that mean? If rain happens, the water does not go inside the earth. And nothing comes out of that land. It's like, imagine a rocky surface, nothing goes in, nothing comes out. Think of like a plastic surface, nothing goes in, nothing comes out. Airtight, right? That's called shiha. Now Allah says at the end of the ayah was talking about the Ansar, but at the end of this ayah, Allah is not talking about the Ansar, Allah is talking about everybody else, all of us. So this is what the Quran does. The Quran will tell you one specific case, and then at the end tell you, what do you learn from that? What's your takeaway? So what's our takeaway? Allah says, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Whoever can be protected from the shuh, that same word I just described to you, the impermeable surface, whoever can be protected from the shuh they have inside themselves, then those people are successful. Allah is telling me and Allah is telling you, we have a potential inside us to have a toughness, a hardness, that when you see somebody else's pain, you can hear it, you can see it, it doesn't go inside. Your heart has a shuh. It's got a toughness. It doesn't get through. And when it doesn't get through, nothing comes out. No generosity comes out. No kindness comes out. You can't see somebody else's pain. You can't see somebody else's tears. You can't see somebody else's exhaustion. Because you weren't able to protect yourself from your shuh. And then there are people who, even though all of us have it, there are some people that are able to contain that shuh and bury that shuh, and they have a soft heart. Like the wonderful soul we're here to celebrate today and pray for today, Uncle Fazlur Rahman. Hey, what a name, Fazlur Rahman too. His dad really picked a name. Fazl, the favor of Ar-Rahman, right? And a man lived a life of doing favors, and all people remember from him is his Rahmah. You know, he embodied the meanings of his name, SubhanAllah, right? But you know, one thing I heard over and over again is he wasn't afraid to shed a tear when he saw somebody in pain. He would even meet perfect strangers, hear about them, and have so much empathy that he would even sometimes shed a tear with them. And some of his friends would say, that's such a feminine quality. But actually, that's a real man. That's the Sahaba. That's the Ansar. They can feel somebody else's pain so much that they don't even see their own anymore. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. I mean, what wording! I translated the last part of this as those people are successful. Whoever can be protected from their own shuh are the ultimately successful. The lesson Allah is giving us here is a profound one. And that lesson is every one of us has to develop the kind of empathy that you can see somebody else's pain. And when you can do that, the word for success is, you know, you could say faiz, right? You could say ghalib also in some dominant. But Allah used al-muflihun, which is used for farmers when they pull their harvest. They're called a muflih, right? And it's amazing because the farming process is the water getting in and the plant getting out, which is the opposite of shuh, where nothing goes in and nothing comes out, right? That Allah is saying that we can see someone in pain, we can see someone in need, we can see someone in need for some affection and some love. One of the things I heard from the grandchildren is that he was always giving hugs. He was always showing affection. He was always giving comfort. That's the way he communicated love. And that even for a child to just feel loved by their grandfather, just for even a few moments, you would think it's just a couple of seconds, but now when, you know, Allah has called him, they can remember the hugs, because that's something that got through to them. Or maybe he could see somebody sitting there looking sad and he doesn't say a word, he just comes and gives them a hug. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. That is the inspiration Allah has left of the Ansar. What should we learn from that? We should learn to identify the rigidity we have in ourselves, the lack of empathy we have within ourselves, the lack of sensitivity we have in ourselves towards others, and let that go, and let the heart actually feel. Let the tears actually roll. Let the kind words actually come out. Stop calculating. Not every friendship, not every relationship. Actually, none of our relationships should be purely transactional. How many relationships do we have that are so fake that you say to somebody, "Assalamu alaikum, brother," but you don't mean brother. You don't really mean brother. And you're like, oh, I can't talk to this one about these things. I can't trust this one with this. I can't. What's his angle? You're always assuming something. You're always thinking, oh, you know, they're going to take advantage of me somehow. You got to look out for yourself. And here you have the Sahaba just letting strangers into their home and opening their hearts. And Allah gave them this forever award. This forever award. I leave you with the next ayah, which is also about us. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. And those who came after them. You see how appropriate that is? So there was the Muhajirun and the Ansar, and now those who came after them. يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا. Ya Rabb, forgive us and forgive our brothers who got ahead of us, who left before us بالإيمان, with faith. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And do not allow for harsh feelings to settle into our hearts for others who believe. رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Our Rabb, you are the one who is Ra'uf. Ra'uf means someone who understands your pain. Ra'fa. Ra'fa is more than mercy. Ra'fa means empathy. Ra'fa actually means someone who sees and acknowledges the pain that you're going through. That person has Ra'fa for you. And Allah says about himself, we say about Allah, Ya Allah, you yourself are Ra'uf. In other words, inspire us with some of your Ra'fa. Give us some of your Ra'fa. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us a people of Ra'fa. And may Allah Azza wa Jal make the legacy of this beautiful human being and his family a legacy of Ra'fa and of Rahmah, and an embodiment, an inspiration of what Allah gave us in terms of the Ansar. You know, the family was talking about him, and all I could think about was this ayah. Usually, you know, we think of the Ansar, we think of our heroes, and then we try to see how that applies to us. And it's a beautiful thing when you see a fellow believer, and you see what they're doing, and it reminds you of those that left a legacy behind the other way around. May Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive all of our mistakes. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa khususan ala afdalihim wa khatamin nabiyyin Muhammadin al-Amin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله رحمكم الله، اتقوا الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة، إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.